All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were. Welcome to the Oasis podcast. This is our phone-in discussion. This might be part one. We'll see. With our friend Richard and our very good friend and very special guest, Amy. Richard, we take you for granted, mate. That's all there is to it.
That's fine. I bow to Amy. It's much more special.
Well, Amy, I'll always be massively impressed because you were like... You actually came over all the way from America for our Water Rat show, didn't you? I was amazed.
I did. I would like to come back again eventually when everybody gets their COVID act together.
All right. Well, look, we did have some excitement this morning, our time. It would have been the middle of the night for you, I suppose, which is, we knew for a while. So we had this sort of, a few rumors going on and a few things happening. And we were checking the, like, PPL websites, and we've been checking like various, you know, things flying around on Live Forever forum, and I've been posting stuff, but anyway, so it's all like finally all revealed, you know. It's one of these, like, it's played out like on wrestling or something, you know what I mean? The way these things build up over weeks and it's like aha. So the first off, I suppose, we got a new song, which I keep getting the name wrong of, but it's we're
on our way now. Yeah,
we're on our way now.
I liked it.
What do you think?
I thought it was really nice. I mean, I am Team Noel. I am, but sometimes I think, you know, he has a sound, right? Doesn't he have a sound? And again, this is another example of the sound. I mean, it was really good. I like the lyrics. I like the flow. It was, you know, whatever. But then I thought, oh, this is also kind of like, it's also kind of similar to what the Liam's Christmas song, whatever it was called. Remember what might have been. I walked you home. I said, I'll see you later. I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed about the compilation thing in a way. I mean, I like that it's got a couple of new tracks on it. I don't, because at first I was like, I don't know that I'm going to buy it. I don't need something else sitting around my house to that I have to dust. But it's got new songs. So what to do?
Mm. Well, I think that the new songs will be on Spotify or will be wherever, isn't it? So like, you know, like with any of those things, it's, you know, you don't need it. I think it's like it's a nice thing to have for the collectors. I think I said on Twitter earlier, like I've got no problem with it in terms of like, does this warrant a greatest hits? Right. Oh, here's Ryan as well. We'll let him in. Does this warrant a greatest hits? And I think it does. Like, there's certain people, like the Libertines did a greatest hits based on two albums. Like that it doesn't feel you need a greatest hits on two albums. Like the Sex Pistols, you can get like a greatest hits. They only had one album, really. You know what I mean? How can you call that a best of when it's really one album and then a few other random tracks? Whereas Noel. Yeah. Three full albums, EPs, 18 tracks, 18 singles and EPs. And then some really good individual songs. So for instance, you know, what's it? Dead in the Water makes the, you know, isn't officially a single, but then it was released as a video. So that kind of makes the cut as well. So yeah, I think it was definitely warranted to be a best of. Whether or not people want to buy it, I think it's deserved. What do you reckon, Richard? You haven't said much yet.
Yeah, I mean, to talk about the song itself, it's when Noel said on Zobel this morning that it was that he wrote it in between the first two albums, you can hear it straight off the bat. Like, it's, you know, it's very much in line with what he was doing then. And he kind of made the point, didn't he? He said, it, you know, it needs to be worthy to be on a best of. Like, it needs to be, you know, worthy of that. It's interesting he went back and gave an old one. I was expecting, I don't know, for a kind of best of, I was expecting a bit more of a banger, for want of a better word. Like, I thought if there was going to be two songs on it, there'd be one ballad and one quick one. And I thought he'd come out with a quick one. But to come out with what is a very, like, anthemic, as, you know, as we said earlier on, flag waving, slow tempo song, is interesting to me. Like, it's interesting, yeah, that he chooses to go that way as much as he goes with the fast tracks. But I mean, the song itself, I really like it. I was singing the chorus by the end, but the first time I'd heard it, so that's always a good sign. You know, you know what the melody's going to be, you know what it is. Yes, it's kind of that classic Noel, isn't it? I think the song itself.
It didn't blow me away. Like, I, as it was playing, I was like, okay, I think the intro has got a let's all make believe kind of feel to it, which is a positive thing, I thought. I think there's definitely, it's reminiscent. It's interesting. It's something that me and my mate Joel had mentioned on text, and then someone else just mentioned it, I think on the Discord, or it might have been on Twitter. Andrea Johnson, Glorious. Is definitely, you can really hear it in the ooze, and once you hear it, you can't unhear it. It is very in the ooze and ahs, and especially in the strings coming out of the chorus. It's like na 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 na.
It's
exactly Andrea Johnson, Glorious. If you remember that,
thanks for that. Gonna meet your maker. Good luck in the afterlife. I hear the morning sun doesn't cast no
with a master plan, and I'm starting to lose control.
I don't know what I don't know that song, but is what does he have? Can he, like, does it all, does he always have to, like, get somebody else's stuff?
Yes,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And I mean, maybe that's just, I mean, whatever, but it's like, I don't know. Come on.
Yeah. Well, what do you
like
think,
Joe Biden? Come on, man.
Come on, Joe. Well, Ryan, you're in. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Feeling the vaccine. Had it this morning, so.
Oh yeah.
I thought I'd jump on anyway. Yeah. So it's making me a bit fluey, but.
You're feeling a bit rough.
Yeah, but yeah, got a day off tomorrow, so hopefully that'll help.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, well done. You're going to go out licking door handles and stuff now because you're a superhero.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I listened to it a couple of times. Yeah, usual catchy affair, as you say. But now you've just said that about that song, I'll have to give that a listen. Well, it's better than Ricky Martin, slightly, maybe. So.
Or the chewing gum kid. Always there's always something, isn't there? There's always, it's like you can't let it go without there being something to just make you go, oh, it was great, but like I can't remember which one it is, but there's one of them that had a bit where it sounded like I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor or this. There's always
he was flagging that up last time around, wasn't he? He was like, is it a bit of this, bit of that, like in the promotion for the tracks, like that's postmodern, if was such a thing. But there is always a general, maybe because we listen so attentively, I don't know.
Maybe. I think it is just when he's writing, like anyone, when you write, like I've haven't written many songs, but when you do, you naturally, your brain goes, that would sound good. But then it's, your brain has done that because it's, you know, Andrea Johnson's Glorious is a great song. And if you're working on similar chords, it would, like, that will drop in, or I Will Survive. So it just naturally, or the David Essex one on the last one, tonight.
Edwin Collins.
There's been a lot, hasn't there? But it's fine. It is just, there's only so many melodies, isn't there? And there's only so many things you can do. we will, and we are uber geeks, that we will tear these things to shreds. But while we got Ryan, this is Ryan's first performance since, first performance. This is a performance, first appearance. First appearance since a couple of things that I just wanted to give you a shout out for. So first off, you were a major driving force behind that Acquiesce cover version that we did. So I mean, well done for that amazing piece of work. I know a lot of people chipped in, but you know, you were really the you produced it, you did the video for it, you know, your son Will doing the drums on it, which then kind of was the driving bed of the tune that we all added on to. So first off, just well done for that. And
thank you.
Yeah, and how did you find that whole thing, putting it together?
Yeah, as you can tell, I kind of jumped on it. I like doing that sort of stuff. I'm obviously in the wrong job, so that kind of stuff, mixing music and things like that. I know it does get boring after a while, but I've got that kind of brain that once you start it, then I'm the perfectionist with it and carry on. And so once everyone chipped in, and then it was like, oh, can we make that sound a bit better there and here, and then it just turns into an endless bit of a job, really. But I actually enjoy it. I'm losing sleep over those sort of things. It's more interesting than my work, let's put it that way. I don't know what it is that makes me feel alive. I don't know how to wake the things that sleep inside. I only want to see a light that shines behind your eyes. We started with Will playing the drums and stuff as well, which obviously is great for us doing that as well, and then adding it, layering on everyone on top. So I think all of us are in there, aren't we? I think Amy's in there.
Yeah, yeah, everyone. No, yeah. Did you? Yeah, you
I'm not sure if Richard actually made it on the cut. I tried. But.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Well, no, we'll edit that bit out. That's fine.
Yeah. And
you're lost.
Yeah, but no. So Richard is under exclusive contract, isn't he? So it would have been a major issue with Warner's or something. But and then the other thing as well, which massive thank you for, this blew my mind, was the Matt Morgan cameo. Right. Mm. So for people that don't know, there's this thing called Cameo, where you can. You can pay celebrities to do a little video for you, and there's quite a few famous people on there. It's mainly like YouTubers and old actors and things like that, but Matt Morgan, the host of the Matt Morgan podcast and Noel's good mate, set himself up on Cameo, and we spotted it and we mentioned it on the Discord chat, like, oh wow, like, you know, Matt Morgan's on it. And I think I joked, like, well, you know, if someone wants to do that for me, like, you know, my birthday's coming up next month, you know, ha ha ha. And then the next thing I know, I get a message from Ryan, like, check your messages, like, what? And you've gone out and spent your own money, which I'd had a go at you for, but you did it. And we got this message from Matt Morgan. So do you want to just
As you know, I'm going to, eventually the idea is I claw that back off you somewhere or another. But way down in the future, when we're on the Oasis reunion tour, you're going to tag me along.
Exactly. Yeah. When I'm...
Yeah, the reason, I'll say a weird story. The reason I know what Cameo, I don't know, not up on things like TikTok, like I'm not even on TikTok and things like that, but like Cameo, the only reason I know that is because my other weird obsession that I listen to podcasts for is wrestling, which I know, James, you mentioned before, because it's another 90s thing that, you know, as a teenager, I watched early 90s on Sky wrestling stuff. And then more recently, so they... The Undertaker, which I think, like Hulk Hogan, everyone kind of knows, even if you don't watch wrestling kind of thing. He's like recently retired and he's on Cameo, and he never, for 30 years, he's never gone out of character. So you would never see him doing an interview or anything like that. It would always be this, you know, weird like zombie type character that they have on TV. But he's in the last year started doing it, and they got people getting him to say the weirdest random stuff, you know, just to their mates or whatever. So that's kind of how I knew about it, and how I knew that you could just use it for whatever you wanted. So I just immediately thought, oh, well, maybe I can subtly tell him to ask Noel to get on for an interview. So, and then I just thought, yeah, screw it. He was saying, just did it straight away. And he'd actually done it the next morning, I think. So I did it on that night, the way we had the Discord chat. And I just thought, you only get a paragraph. You literally get like, it's like a tweet length or maybe a bit longer to put your request in for what to say. So I had to kind of work it in to make it sound like I was just adding the Noel bit on as an afterthought, even though that was the main reason for me doing it. And then obviously I didn't expect him to basically get reply exactly as I wanted, that he would potentially message him, even though we've all got that caveat that, yeah, maybe he's just being nice and stuff like that. But it's better than no chance at all, isn't it? I'm sure. And he's the closest person we know of. And he's podcast related as well, so.
Yeah, exactly. And and basically, so the update is, so that went across, and so obviously I'll drop it in.
James, aka JC, I'm here to wish you a happy 4th anniversary of the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Well done. It's hard to get a podcast going. It's even harder to make one last 4 years. So I personally am very proud of you for doing that. This message is from your number one patron, Ryan Harvey. That's what he claims to be. And he is saying that I should tell you, and I think this means me, someone out there, hopefully will one day be able to get you an interview with the Chief, Noel Gallagher. I never called him the Chief, but I do know that's who he is. Let me try. Let me ask him. I mean, he's a grumpy little bastard, but sometimes you never know. You've done 4 years of a podcast devoted to something that he created. Surely he owes you an interview, doesn't he? Well, anyway, well, I'm going to ask. I'll try. Hit me up with a message and on Instagram, and I'll ask him. You know, that's all I can do. But for now, well done on 4 years of the podcast. Good work, sir.
What he said is, you know, you can tell he's kind of reading, you know, happy anniversary, 4 years, the Oasis podcast. And he's like, 4 years, wow. And he sort of drops in that bit about, you know, it's impressive to do 4 years of a podcast. And he's like, yeah, well, Noel should do it. You know, he's, you know, you've been, you know, he says something he created. And, you know, he's like, well, well, that's debatable, but there you go. And then, anyway, and so he said, you know, I'll have a word. No guarantees, he's a grumpy bugger or something, but I'll have a word. And then I was like, okay, you know, and that was very exciting. I messaged Matt straight away. I hadn't actually signed up to the Matt Morgan podcast, but I then did. And so I messaged him on Instagram, like he said, and I messaged him on Patreon so he could see, this is someone that's paying you £5 a month, come on. And he didn't come back to me for a few days. So I messaged again, just following up, you know, don't want to chase, but, you know, all the best. And he came back to me the other day. Sorry, dude, I'm so behind on messages. Haven't spoken to Noel for a while as we've both been busy. He will probably say no, as I imagine. Then he'll be inundated with podcast requests, but I will try. Can you summarize it in a sentence what you want, like duration, etc., so I can send it in a WhatsApp message? And I just went back basically saying, you know, I'd be happy with whatever. And really, I'd be happy to do whatever questions you wanted, even if it's just plug in the new release. I didn't know exactly what it was going to be then. But the real thing that I want is to do listeners' questions that are more in-depth, like specific Oasis song and specific High Flying Bird song moments. You know, really, let's dig into what was this song specific, you know, like stuff like, you know, sitting here in silence on my own and things like that. Or like, when was the last ever recording session? There's little things that we don't know in the history that, you know, we really need someone to fill the gaps, and no other bug is going to ever ask him those questions. So that for me is the dream. But anyway, but he hasn't come back to me from that. Obviously, we had the whole raft of stuff that he's done today. I didn't get a call, so I wasn't refreshing, but you know, you never know. But it didn't happen.
And then as I said, since he's come off Cameo, if you listen to his last podcast, because of the stupid stuff people are starting to send. Yeah, this, I saw one of the cameos is just some guy getting him to roast, as they call it, his mate, and just getting him to read all kinds of shit. And he just looked so, like, seeing his face, he was just being used as a robot to read this weird sort of roast between the mates who talk to each other about, I don't know what, but yeah, you could see that he was completely tuned out from it. So I assume shortly after that one, he went, yeah, forget this, and turned it off.
Actually, does he need 30 odd quid you know, to talk shit, you know, he probably not too bothered. So, yeah, if you're the Undertaker and you're probably charging 500 quid,
yeah,
or something,
it's 100 quid, yeah.
Yeah, then you know, then it makes sense. But anyway, but look, it's amazing. It was an incredible thing to do. Thank you, Ryan, so much for doing it. You know, yes, you will get paid back somehow in the future, whether we can.
Yeah, it might pay off. Who knows?
Yeah, it will pay off.
Maybe in an indirect way, it might eventually pay off just from a random connection. But I know you always say, like the audience of the Oasis podcast are already in, so they're already buying the stuff, and so why does Noel need to go on those interviews and the thing? But that was the other thing from today, that I don't know if you looked at the release of this thing, like there's about 10, 15 different packages of the vinyl and the cassette, and it's absolutely crazy. Like even over the top for them, it's like, I really don't need the variation with the vinyl and the cassette and the CD, or, and then combinations of all those. And then this, I mean, I might buy the CD just out of habit, but I'm not yet a vinyl stuff person. The cassettes thing's an interesting, they did that with Morning Glory. It's like, that is a complete novelty thing, because that's never going to come back.
They said it sold out. Sorry.
I was going to buy one.
there is a bit of a market for them. They are kind of like, I mean, it's probably a step too far, but yeah, since the vinyl revival, the cassettes are coming back gradually. Weirdly,
just not very flexible. And with the vinyl, it's like a CD, you can skip and move it around, but a cassette was always very not a very elegant solution, I thought.
Indeed not good quality, but
purely, isn't it, it's purely just the
visual,
the aesthetic thing, of having the thing, you know, and cassettes being that sort of callback. But I mean, the Oasis cassettes weren't even that big a thing. I mean, I know some people had Oasis cassettes, but most of us, it was CDs by that point. So, you know, it's not even really a callback to Oasis, because so it is a bit weird.
It's merch. That's what it is. I mean, that's where they, musicians, bands, etc., make most of the money. Certainly at the moment, with the pandemic and not being able to perform live, it's merchandise. And it's just another thing, really.
Yeah, yeah. But what did we think? So going back to the while we're talking about the packages and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, fine. You know, Kyle and the Oasis Collectors Group, they'll be loving it and buying all of them, and it will sit beautifully in, you know, in with all their stuff. As we've said, I'm not a collector really, but thinking about the actual CD itself, I mean, we said earlier, yeah, fine, I've got no issue with them doing a greatest hits. I think the career of High Flying Birds warrants it. It's been 10 years. That makes sense. And he'd said, you know, he probably wasn't going to do anything like a new album until like 2023 anyway. So there would have been a gap. And so this is sort of, I think, nicely filling in that kind of gap. And we are going to get a couple of new songs, so that's good. But what do we think of the track listing? I thought it was a strange one because there's some big omissions there. You know, we've not got Dream On. We've not got Wandering Star. I mean, Wandering Star is probably my favorite from the most recent stuff. But Richard, what did you think of the track listing?
I'm just having a look at it now. Typically, I had to drive to Milton Keynes on the biggest like Oasis news day for years. I haven't had a chance to sit and read things. I heard some of the radio things early on, but I haven't looked at the track listing. Dream On. I mean, I do remember him always saying that he thought five singles from both the first, well, specifically the first album was a bit much. And maybe it was a choice of, well, we can't have all the singles from both the first two albums. That's 10 tracks. If we want to put Dead on the Water there, etc. And I think he prefers Everybody's on the Run over Dream On as a song. Like he opened live with it. He played it at Heaton Park. You know, he opened live with it for years. I think he prefers that generally. And it was a single. You can't not have the first three singles from that album. Obviously, that's
a massive.
You know, ridiculous not to have them. I'm surprised. I say that. I mean, there's the five singles from Chasing Yesterday. So I'm surprised like Riverman made the cut, for example. But again, he obviously likes it. What irritates me is the fact the new one sits right in the middle. Before the EPs and the Who Built the Moon stuff, and then the order gets a little bit more mixed, doesn't it? Quite straightforward before that. I mean, A Dream is All I Need to Get By. That's a surprise. To put on now, that's a big shout. I think I'd rather have had Sail On myself. You were talking about the behind, but I don't pay it. Water, its inclusion says everything about the song, doesn't it? You know, bonus track or B-side to Holy Mountain, and now it's, you know, making best of. It is one of his classic, he's certainly his High Point Blues classic songs now. Yeah, I mean, broadly, it's what you'd expect, I think. I'd have liked it to be a little bit more interesting with the actual track listing. Like, I was doing one in my head the other day, and I thought, Everybody's on the Run will open it. And then I thought, Holy Mountain, like, that would be like, because, you know, he structured Stop the Clocks like a gig, and maybe Time Flies, but certainly Stop the Clocks was kind of structured like a gig. So I thought he might do the same in this, but he hasn't. But yeah, I think it's broadly what you'd expect. I'm paying for the deluxe vinyl box set, so I'm happy with it. I was listening to some of them earlier, and you kind of realised that's a very strong collection of songs, very strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, side B, as I said, Riverman, Lock All the Doors, Dying of the Light, Ballad of the Mighty Eye. That would be my favourite side, if you're looking at it from a side's point of view.
Yeah.
But randomly ones that, just like you say, Noel obviously likes Riverman. So for me, what I never got on with What a Life. Noel really likes it for some reason. I think he likes it live or something, but I just don't like it. It's a bit weird to me. Any of the rest of you think, or you never got on with from the classics, from the first two albums, I guess.
What do you think, Amy? Have you had a chance to have a look at it?
Well, I'm looking at it now, and it's fine. I'm glad for the two new tracks. Like I said, I don't know. I don't guess I really have a big, strong opinion on it. Somebody said that they thought that the design and the packaging, everything, it was like a homemade, like a mixtape or something. Or like a...
And the colours are a bit garish.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great spot, actually, from Jamie Irwin, who does... who I appeared on his Watch Your Favorite podcast. And then he's also done the, he's got a new Green Day podcast called International Superpod, I think. He spotted, it's very, very similar to the Best of the Bee Gees, the Yellow album that they've talked about a lot. And so if you look at the two side by side, the colors are slightly off, but the way it's laid out and the font and everything is spot on. It is, and we know that he loves that album.
That's he did an interview with GQ. Well, an interview with GQ, and Dylan Jones was released today, and that was also referenced the same link.
Oh, really?
Noel didn't say it. I think it's in the kind of the text saying it points out what the cover looks like. I don't think Noel confirms it, but it is pointed out.
Oh, cool. Okay, all right. No, I didn't know it's been picked up. As I say, I thought it was Jamie's spot. Was the only one that spotted it, really? But yeah. Right.
He may very well have, I'm sure he might have done. I don't know when the interview with GQ came out, but I caught up with it earlier on.
Yeah.
Good read, actually.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously, he's done the bits of TV and radio and stuff today. Well, you know, I don't want to be a broken record here, but how annoying is it? Like, you know, all the things that you could ask about the what tracks were included and why, and talk about the writing of this new song and what does it mean? The lyrics? No. You know, what did we get? We got that Australia news. What's your favourite Oasis song? Will Oasis get back together? And do you love Liam? Like, oh, come on, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't veto that one for too much Oasis in that. Yeah, but I guess maybe it gives him a pass because it's Australia. I don't know.
But...
Yeah, I didn't see that one. God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Right at the end, he said, just tell me you love Liam. And he doesn't answer, basically.
Yeah.
Which, although it was quite nice if he could have just said it, but no.
No.
Did he act annoyed? Did he, like...
I think it was edited, wasn't it? I think it was edited as well. So it very quickly he didn't answer. I don't know if he just didn't answer, whether they edited around it.
Yeah, he just starts talking around the topic more than that, doesn't he? And then he's like, you know, oh, well, I won't push you on it or anything like that then. But that moment was a little bit like, oh, okay, just because you wonder what Noel's going to do. But I suppose in that situation where he's doing these things, recording from his new studio on these kind of Zoom link ups and stuff. So it was a bit annoying.
I'm just staggered with how often you end up talking about your ongoing stoush and your situation with your brother. And I just feel at the end of it, can you just tell me that you love him? Like, beneath it all?
Well, it's not me that ever starts the conversation.
Right.
Other people are fascinated by it, which is fascinating to me, but other than that, I don't really have a great deal to say about it.
It wasn't a yes. I was hoping for a yes, but I understand. I'll let you answer that however you like. I'm out of time, I'm afraid. I could keep talking to you for hours. It's been wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you very
Noel
much.
Gallagher, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And the album, of course, is Back the Way We Came, Volume 1. It's out on June the 11th.
And the other thing he said, like, he's looking at his cards. I think you were deported from the Netherlands after having a fight with some Chelsea fans. And I'm like, first off, it's West Ham.
Second, that's the first thing I said as well.
Second, he wasn't deported, they were. But the only thing with that, he said, they were all fighting with football fans. I was chatting up the birds. Well, according to Wibbling Rivalry, he'd gone to bed. So, yeah. You know. Yep. So, yeah. I know, it's one of those funny ones, isn't it? And I liked on Zoe Ball this morning. So I suppose the other big news we can touch on briefly is the Nebworth doc, you know, the Cosmic Kite Limited. When she asked, I was like, oh, okay. And then he did confirm that's going to be the Nebworth documentary. And, you know, and he said, well, when we did it in 1997, I'm like...
I went back and listened to that, and I saw you point that out. Actually, I think he might have been saying the year after we went back and thought about releasing it.
Yeah,
because he kind of went in 97. We looked at it, blah blah blah, blah, and went back. And I mean, is he that dumb? He might have, like, because before the sentence was like 25 years ago, and then he literally contradicted himself. So I think it might have been we thought about releasing it very shortly afterwards, and then it just didn't happen, and it dragged on for 25 years. That was the vibe I got.
I think you're giving him a bit of credit there, but yeah.
Yeah. I think he kind of...
I always do.
He kind of fudges it a bit, doesn't he? Because he says, when he says 1997, then he starts talking about, you know, we had people interviewing the fans on the buses and stuff. So then it does feel, but I get what you mean. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt then.
Tell me about Cosmic Kite. New company?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not, there's a lot of stories in the press about it being a film company for a biopic, which of course it's not. It's what it is the gig Oasis did at Nebworth is 25 years old August, and back in 97 we'd filmed it all really professionally with like loads of cameras, and we had cameras on the trains with fans and all that, and for one reason or another that film never came out. And as it's the anniversary coming up, we're going to be releasing that documentary. So it's actually in production now. I've seen a little tiny little trailer of it, and it's really a fantastic snapshot of a bygone era before the internet. It's great, really great.
Oh gosh, that will take us out again. 25 years. How can that be 25 years?
Yeah, I mean the Nebworth doc. You know, by the. You know, I've heard that, you know, obviously they asked for Nebworth memories. I've heard that some people have actually done interviews, which would be, you know, exciting. And
I think it is just going to be a documentary. People keep it like on the collector group. Everyone go, oh, when are they going to release the vinyl? And you know, obviously any release of the gig in either audio or video. But I just don't think the gig's that good quality. I don't think Noel would, because compared to Main Road, it's the same similar set. And Liam is just messing about. The singing's not that great on a lot of it. I just don't think Noel will ever release it, to be honest. To me, I just feel that's why it's never been released as well, or one of the reasons. Anyway.
Yeah.
Apart from all this stuff with Alan and Gwigsy's rights and all this stuff, I think actually Noel... So I actually watched it today because I was in the mood of this. I actually put the YouTube Nebworth on in the background while I was working. And there's a lot of it is a bit dodgy quality, and it'd need a lot of cleaning up, I think, to actually release it.
A lot of people kind of say, well, they do more live albums, but but Noel has said in the past he wasn't that happy with the sound with that, and he is quite a perfectionist when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he hasn't, I mean, all right, there's re-releases of Oasis stuff, but there's not like, there aren't any other live albums apart from Familiar to Millions. You know, he doesn't really, he's got quite good quality control. So I think you're probably right. I think there's, I'd be surprised if we got the full works, and it has only been referred to as a documentary, hasn't it? So
and I remember on one of the interviews on one of the docs from before, I remember Noel saying that they followed the fans from King's Cross and stuff like that. I don't know whether that's on Supersonic or something, but they obviously had all the tape of they followed people traveling from King's Cross out to Nebworth. So maybe they were even trying to find those people again with the whole memories, to see if they might stumble across some of them in getting all the general memories from people as well. I don't know. But I'd be surprised if they obviously have to put clips of the gig in, maybe.
Very quick one here, which says, can you ask Noel why the band's never released Nebworth on a CD? It was awesome.
Well, we actually made a proper film of that, which was called, I think the documentary was going to, because the police operation was called Operation Gold that day, and we were going to call it that. And we've decided to sit on it because we've been busy with one thing and another. I think there was a couple of tracks came out free with something. I think the Champagne Supernova with John Squire on that. But it's something that we had a lot of cameramen there that actually went with a load of fans from King's Cross or Paddington or something all the way out there. I've seen bits of the footage. It's quite interesting. But I think the longer that we leave that, because that is, will define that era, which became known as the Britpop era. I think we could sit on that for a while until people are maybe in their 50s. Well, it was cool because it was like, and not to compare it to Woodstock in any way, but it was kind of that thing, do you know what I mean? Not only because of Oasis playing, but all the bands that were on that bill, it was quite incredible to get them in that place for the 2 days.
I just like the idea that in the same way people go, oh, it's, you know, the Stones in Hyde Park or something, there'll be a generation going, oh, Oasis at Nebworth.
Yeah, Oasis at Nebworth. Do you remember, do you remember when Dread Zone come on?
Oh, God. Yeah. Britain, wasn't it?
Where is he? There he is.
Okay.
That was his idea.
I don't think it will be like a YouTube video. It does feel like with getting the business set up and stuff, and because, you know, you think they would make money from it, then I think it will be a release of some sort, and they're obviously spending money on it. But then whether or not they just then have clips, you know, it's an overall documentary kind of story of the day. And then it, you know, talking heads and then little clips come in and out. Cause you know, we've had that before with Supersonic, haven't we? And you know, and they've, a few songs have been released over the years officially, but whether or not, you know, it would be a shame. I mean, like, I know that the whole, we have this argument with the like quality control thing versus I come from it more of like a historical document. You know, it's much more important to me as like a historical document. Yeah, it might have been a bit rough around the edges, but ultimately it's, you know, this is a really, really, really important gig in the history of music. And it's not just about like, well, was it out of tune? If it was out of tune, well, that's part of the story, and it should be kind of, you know, captured in that way. But
I think that's the worst example of acquiesce with Noel, if you remember, on the Nebworth radio thing. It's his first lyric in the gig. It's whoa, it's really bad. I remember noticing that. Obviously, it's fixable, I think, because I'm sure Main Road was tweaked to be tuned up, but it's way off. So I'm sure stuff like that he probably hates, I'd imagine. Yeah.
And me and Richard can testify, and Amy can testify, that is bloody high.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And as he said, the sound was bad. So obviously on stage at Nebworth, I'm sure it was impossible to hear yourself and all that sort of stuff.
But what do you reckon, Amy? Would you want a Nebworth documentary or live show or a different live show?
I mean, I'll watch. I would watch whatever came out, honestly. And I would pay to watch whatever came out. I don't know that I'm going to purchase it.
Right.
I mean, I don't. But yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, if they just put it all out there, you know. We want stuff.
Yeah.
Do we assume that Liam would be involved? I hope it's not a thing like the Rockfield thing where it's like clearly Noel's arranged it and it's just Noel. That would be annoying if there's no kind of involvement from Liam's side, which is probably highly likely, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Do y'all ever listen to Paul Gallagher's, his radio show that he does?
No, I haven't actually.
Didn't know either.
Yeah, like on Instagram, I think he does it once a week, and he does some kind of a radio show, and he puts all in just bare, I guess, just kind of whatever he's listening to or whatever he's run across that week. And I've listened to it before. He's got really good taste. I like his music choices, but I was just wondering if he would. I don't know that he's ever played anything by Liam, but it'd be really interesting if he ever played anything by Noel.
I think it's Islington Radio. I think that's on. Is that right?
Islington.
I think so. That sounds right.
All right. Well, look, we're down to 2 minutes on this Zoom, so let's close it up, shall we? But any closing thoughts from a momentous day, Richard? Although you were spent half of it on the road to Milton Keynes.
Yep, the joys of the A34. I was good. It's just good to have him back, isn't it? I was just thinking that this morning. It was weird. Like, Come On Outside was like the last, aside from We're Going to Get There in the End, like the last song kind of released by Noel. And I remember people before as the pandemic was kicking in, it was like Come On Outside was exactly what we were being told not to do. So it feels like this is almost like closing that circle. So I think it's been quite good for the mental health. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it's good to have him back. And yeah, I think the song's worthy. And like I say, I paid for the vinyl, so I'm one of the mugs that are giving money. So yeah, I'm happy.
Fair enough. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, good. I just need to decide which version I'm going to buy. Stick with the CD or venture into the vinyl. I don't know, but I'll definitely get one of two, but probably not the expensive one. Because it is you are rebuying the stuff on most of it anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And Amy, any closing thoughts?
Like the song. Don't know that I'm going to buy anything unless I can't get the new stuff anyplace else. So.
Fair enough. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ryan and Amy and Richard. And it's been great to speak. And we'll speak to you again soon. You chose to drift away and look at you now. There we go. Can you hear me, Richard?
I can, mate. You're right.
Good. Yes, that's fine. I'd unplug my headphones. So I was just listening to the end of that Man United game. Yeah, so don't worry. We didn't miss much in the game. It's like 6-2.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. To who? United?
Yeah. Jesus. That's always the way. It's just going to finish. It's like 3 minutes left, actually. But okay. Yeah, cool. Anyway, all right. Well, look. Yeah, so we got some bonus time with Richard because, you know, there's just so much to cover on this. I think we've only scratched the surface, really. Mm. But yeah, the one that, I mean, we didn't talk about, I mean, I think it just do a bit more on the song itself, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's really, that's the key thing that's happened today. Anytime we get new music by Gallagher, it's a big day and we need to make the ring every second of content out of it that we can. But So I think we've mentioned I think the verse is good, but it's got that kind of it just feels like, okay, this is another Noel verse, you know, like in terms of the structure and stuff. But it's good, but I know where it's going, I know where it's happening. When it goes into the chorus, I think that it's a little bit messy in the chorus. There's the bit about like, because I love you, lady, or whatever, and that sort of feels like you know, that's Noel's used that before, you know, and it feels a bit sort of smushed in, and I didn't think that was great. But I really love at the end of the chorus, there's a couple of chord changes that are really lovely, that like, oh yeah, great, you know, that's a real gorgeous sort of chord change near the end of the chorus there, and then going into the strings and stuff after it. So yeah, generally I thought it was like another one of the mid-paced kind of tunes that Noel's given us recently, and probably not one of the best. I think Sail On and A Dream Was All I Need to Get By I would put above this, personally. Stood on top of the world, and when the cold wind blows, say the chill don't
I say, I think to a keen ear, you can tell when it was written. It's very subtle. I will say that for it. It's one of the, you listen to it the first time, you're like, yeah, it's all right. And then I've listened to it about three times now. I'm like, no, actually, it's a strong Noel Gallagher song. I thought the lyrics were quite interesting. I've just had a quick look at them. And you're right, the kind of love you lady bit, you dream on is the one he kind of referred to that. And then I kind of thought back and was like, well, carrying this theory that I keep on banging on about dream on being about Liam, I kind of went back to this one. I thought, oh, okay, what this one is. And somebody, did I see someone on Twitter mention it could be like someone who's passed away. And I mean, it's probably with the line, good luck in the afterlife. But I thought I saw someone say, yeah, I saw you engaged on about that. The subject matter, I want to say it's about Liam, because, you know, in all kind of called metaphor, but I don't know that it necessarily is, but it's definitely a kind of, a kind of melancholic saying goodbye to kind of someone thing that, you know, is Noel's, you know, raison d'etre. But the lyrics are a little bit more, I don't know, I think interesting than perhaps some of the other stuff he's done. I know you're not a fan of some, you know, the rhyming couplets he sometimes do, and you know, something with lyrics by numbers, as it were. But this one seems to me a little bit more. I mean, I hear the morning sun cast no shadow. That seems too much of a coincidence to me.
Yeah, and he said, didn't he? He wrote this, between the first and second albums. So that would have been after, BDI and the morning sun had come out. So that was really, I mean, I tweeted it because I was just like, oh, okay, well, you can't, that can't be a coincidence. So, you know, he must have known that the morning sun is a BDI song. And then, you know, I hear the morning sun doesn't cast no shadow. That feels like that line in How Do You Sleep? When he's like, the only good thing you did was yesterday and now it's just another day, you know. Mm. And I wouldn't put that past Noel, you know, to have done that, especially at that time, like you said.
Well, it would have been around about the time that Liam sued Noel, probably around there or thereabouts. So they were quite at each other's throat, as they've always been. They're at each other's throats quite a lot then. You were living the dream when the morning came, you'd gone to meet your maker, as a line. I said, I'll see you later. See you later is quite a bit like quite a Gallagher thing, isn't it? As in, you know, fine, I'm off, see you later. Dismissive type of thing. So we'll never know, obviously. But yeah, the line of, yeah, you got the love, you've got the love lady. It's almost like, screw that lot. I've got you, are you being Sarah? Which again was a theme he didn't dream on and quite a way around. So yeah, you do wonder, like Noel would just say, oh, I didn't think anything of it. But he can't be that unself-aware, can he?
Yeah, yeah. So remember what might have been, had to walk you home. I said, I'll see you later. You were living the dream, but when the morning come, you'd gone to meet your maker. Yeah, if someone said Carolina Hearn, like, do you think it's about Carolina Hearn? And I thought, that's an interesting one. Good luck in the afterlife. I hear the morning sun doesn't cast no shadow. You chose to drift away, but look at you now. We're on our way now. The truth can be so hard to swallow. Hey now, because you got the love, you got the love lady. I mean, that's like that You Got the Love Candy Staton song, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm worn out. And when he sings I'm worn out, he says I'm tired, but he sings I'm worn out. You know, you don't really want to sing I'm worn out in a song unless it's like I'm so tired by the Beatles. It's just naturally, it's not going to be the most like buzzy thing to sing. I'm worn out because with every little trick they try to drag you down. Interesting. You don't know why. Stood on top of the world, and when the cold wind blowed, you said the chill don't matter, having the time of your life. But when you take those pills, does it make you better? That's an interesting one, isn't it? That's not cliche. take those pills. It's a bit like drugs don't work, Ian, that almost. And I think that might have been the thought about it. Could it be a, you know, someone that's like ill, like, you know, cancer or something, a Carolina Herrmann's cancer, you know, does it take, but having the time of your life, but when you take those pills, does it make you better? More feels like a drug reference really to me, rather than like a recreational drug reference. And then, yeah, good luck in the afterlife. I hear the morning sun doesn't cast no shadow. You choose to drift away, but look you now. Yeah.
It fits with Carolina Hearn, apart from the dates. I mean, there's nothing to say he couldn't have changed the lyrics, but he doesn't generally do that either. He changes like the musicianship and the instrumentation, but he doesn't often change the lyrics. And obviously, Carolina Hearn died in, 2016?
Yeah.
So, and that this... based on our maths and what we know, you're talking 3-4 years before that. So, okay.
It won't be that.
Pedant alert. But...
No, it's a great shout. It's a great shout. I'm always interested. You know, when someone comes up with something like that, you're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? It's interesting, isn't it? Like, you just don't know. Like, I had someone on Discord that said, look in the clouds in the lyric video. I'm laughing, but I actually did it. So this is proper like Paul is dead theories. But when you're like watching the clouds in the lyric video, there's, because it's sort of the front image of the song is like four buildings, and then there's like a woman on the building, and then it's clouds, and there's a couple of high flying birds going across, which is sort of a you know, an ongoing theme in the cover art. But then, yeah, and then so on the lyric video, there's like clouds floating along, and someone on Discord said, oh yeah, at one point you can see like five heads, and it's like an Oasis lineup, and then I actually did pause it, and I looked, I was like, you know, it kind of does look like that, but actually it's not, like it's clearly just clouds. We're just like trying to find faces in clouds now. That's not, you know, when you've gone too far, Richard.
I was gonna say, I mean, that is proper like David Bowie stuff, but with that said, it's very unlikely Noel would have had anything to do with the design of the video, you know. It could have been a fan, you know, or whoever does it and might think that'd be a nice nod to put in, you know. Could be a thing.
Yeah, could be. I don't think so. I mean, I watched it and I thought there is a bit where it kind of looks like it could be five heads, but then no, I don't think it is. I think we are looking too much into it then at that point.
I think it will become a big classic song. I think it might actually suffer from not being on an album, because it won't necessarily get the exposure. It could be like The Dying of the Light, for example. You know, that doesn't really get that like fifth single off that album. And we know it's a great song, but it's still, you don't think of it first. You know what I mean? When you think of Noel Gallagher songs, I think this will be will potentially kind of suffer from that, really. It won't, you know, will it be played live? I mean, he said it would, but he says that about all the songs. So, when he's going to be doing, you know, it doesn't sound like he's going to be doing any gigs for another couple of years. So will it kind of stand the test of time to his live shows? Who knows? But to me, it's up there, certainly with his better High Flying Birds ballads.
Yeah, no, I for me, it's not. For me, it's kind of, as I say, I think in the recent High Flying Birds stuff, it's like, Wandering Star, Sail On, A Dream Is All I Need, and then this, and then we got someone else wants to come in, and then that's where I'd put it. But let's let Sean Wright enter the room, shall we? See a true challenger approaches. Are you there, Sean?
Yes, Mick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How you doing?
Sweet. Yeah, not too bad. Just buzzing off 6 goals against Roma. So happy days.
Well, mate, spoilers. I've recorded it. I was going to watch it later.
No, that's bullshit. I could tell you were bullshitting straight away. I was like, no, he's only on.
That's one of those where I go, where I sort of like, you know, like, well, Oh, it'll be, it's a first leg of the year. It won't be that big a deal. It won't be that good a game. And then do the, we just recorded, came off and it was 5-2. I'm like, for fuck's sake. It's always the way, isn't it? You know, if you take a time out, it's going to be a 0-0. Well, first off, welcome. And you know, you've not done anything like with us before, have you?
No, I've messaged you. I'm on the Patreon Discord, of course, but I messaged you before. I'm the guy from Banbury in Oxfordshire.
Yes, yeah, Banbury, not too far away.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of the stuff today? The big announcements. What was caught your eye?
To be honest, I'm pretty underwhelmed in general that he's gone for like a greatest hits. Not just because it's Noel. I just feel that three albums shouldn't constitute a greatest hits. I just don't think it's enough. I think you're looking at a minimum five albums before you even start thinking of a greatest hits. But I mean, looking from like a Noel Gallagher kind of team perspective and sort of selling records, maybe it's that kind of older market that will actually buy the physical records. Totally understand it. Just from that viewpoint of it shouldn't really be a greatest hits at this stage of his solo career. But I understand totally why. I tweeted on it earlier. Really interested to hear like the acoustic version of A Man Who Built the Moon. It's probably my favourite track on the album. And because he's not played it live, probably because it's too much of a big production to kind of pull it off live. So that kind of caught my eye on the track listing. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I'm quite happy he's put This Is The Place on there. I think it's probably my favourite track that he's done of all the EPs that he's rolled out since his last album. That's a fantastic track. It's got that kind of 90s voodoo ray kind of thing on there, which really appeals to me. I think it's a pretty solid track listing for the best of, really.
No, that's cool. Well, we were just about to start talking about that bonus disc. So it's good you mentioned The Man Who Built the Moon acoustic. Because this was really the key thing I was excited about, the best of it's a collection of songs. It's a different way to recontextualize it rather than just listen to like the This Is Noel Gallagher playlist on Spotify or whatever. But, you know, you may as well just do that, really, to be honest. What's the difference? But then we've got the bonus disc. And that's really what always piques my attention is, okay, are we going to get some stuff we've never heard before? There's a couple of bits we've not heard before. As I say, Man Who Built the Moon acoustic, as far as I'm aware, we've never heard. Richard might jump in as the font of all knowledge, but no, I'm not aware if we've heard that. International Magic. Now that is the name of the DVD, but we've never heard a song called International Magic, have we?
No, that's it was the name of the DVD of the O2 show in 2012, but no, we've never heard of, I can't even recall it ever actually being discussed as a track name, but that obviously suggests it has been. I mean, he always does this, doesn't he? Like, there'll be, you know, like the Stop the Clocks, you know, there'll be something that will come out, and that's obviously when it was written, but he's used it as a good title. But that's a nice little bonus of what will be a first album, presumably a first album era demo. So that makes it three new tracks, so that's a decent return for this sort of package. I mean, obviously it's not on the standard edition, but yeah, it's a nice little tidbit to add to the collection.
Definitely. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You'd think he could have, because as well, the demos tend to be like really good, especially like the recent demos. Like there's not a huge amount of difference in quality between a Noel Gallagher demo and a Noel Gallagher recorded version. I know like the early, like If We Shadows and Untitled from the Be Here Now sessions were literally him and acoustic guitar. But I think that this, I would guess, is probably a bit more than just an acoustic guitar. I imagine that's pretty decent. You could have put that on the thing and then said, there's three new songs, you know, which is then three new songs. That's good, you know? It's interesting. Mm. So maybe it, I don't know. We'll have to see what it is. But no, I'm not aware. And I had a quick look on the forum. You know, I'm not aware of you know, it being an unreleased song that we've heard of in the past. You know what I mean? And one of these ones that he sound checked and we've caught a bit of. No, I think it is brand new. Mm. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. We get two versions of Black Star Dancing. Which, okay.
I don't think either of those are new either.
No. It's Skeleton Key Remix, I think, is new. But I don't know what Skeleton Key Remix. Someone just said, actually, is that a Coral Skeleton Key Remix? I don't know.
Yeah, Skeleton Key is the label that Coral, that some of the members of the Coral work with, if I remember rightly. But yeah, I'll say that they're mates with Weller. So although the Reflex Revision was on the first Black Star Dancing EP, actually. Yeah, so we got the Skeleton Key Remix is new, and the 12-inch mix instrumental is new, I think.
No, I don't know. I mean, but having an instrumental as well. So we've got It's a Beautiful World instrumental. We've got Black Star Dancing 12-inch mix instrumental. And then we've got This Is the Place instrumental and Be Careful What You Wish For instrumental. I mean, literally all. So we've just wiped the vocals. You know what I mean? That's such a, you know what I mean? That's not that hard to do. You know, you can do that with a bloody graphic equalizer. You can like remove the vocals and stick it on YouTube. So, you know, I think they're kind of pointless, to be honest. And then, as I say, a lot of the remixes we've already had, and, you know, as I say, remixes. So for me, it literally is just, like you pointed out, Sean, Man Who Built the Moon. Yeah, really looking forward to hearing that. International Magic, very fascinated to hear that. And as I say, the If I Had a Gun Acoustic, have we heard that before?
I'll be by your side when they come to say goodbye. We will live to fight another day. Excuse me if I spoke too soon. My eyes have always followed you around the room. 'Cause you're the only God that I will ever need. I'm holding on and waiting for the moment to find me.
But yeah, it's not, I'm not desperately excited. I want to hear International Magic, but you know, and then it's like, well, what could we have had? Amorphous Androgynous? You know what I mean? That's the holy grail, I think, isn't it?
Mm.
It would have been nice to have that. It's in the sock drawer somewhere, I think.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird for Bonatist. They've gone for, it's gone for the kind of remixes and stuff without, you thought we could maybe have it, you know, like when you get, like, for example, I think Sway did a best of last year, and the bonus edition was all the singles. You know, you think, like, if he was doing a whole different additional disc, he could put, you know, Wandering Star on there, or Dream On, or some, you know, I don't know, some of the other B-sides he likes, like, I don't know, The Good Rebel or whatever, something like that, but not whatever the song, but you thought we could have been a bit more imaginative with it.
Yeah, or even, like, just record a set of acoustic stuff in his studio and put that out, you know, like a Dreams We Have of Children sort of, you know, that sort of thing. You know, he could have done that, couldn't he, I suppose? That wouldn't have been that hard. He could have just sat there and done it. Or even this gig coming up, this like Sky Arts TV show.
We
could have taken the audio from that, stuck that as a bonus disc. So I don't know, or maybe that'll be its own bonus. That'll be its own live thing later, maybe. I don't know. There we go. Sean, what do you think? Is there anything else jumps out on the bonus disc, or what did you think of the track listing of the main tracks as well?
I was just having a quick look at it now. I was just on my phone trying to find it. I mean, I've got nothing really against the track listing. I can't think of anything that should not be on there and something that could be in there. I mean, obviously looking forward to Flying on the Ground to see how that's going to sound. Personally, I've never really been a big fan of Blue Moon Rising. A Dream Is All I Need to Get By, it kind of plods along quite nicely. Black Star Dancing, again, for me, it's just a bit so-so. I never really got on board with it, really. The other tracks on there seem pretty fine. I've not really got anything against the track listing. Obviously, there's other tracks you could possibly add to it, but obviously, maybe they wanted to kind of limit how many tracks they wanted to put on it. Because obviously, Noah mentioned earlier, I think with Johnny Vaughan, about calling the next one like Volume 2 instead of calling, having some think of another name sort of thing. I've been a bit busy today. I don't know if you guys know any more. I did see the Nebworth thing. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, there's footage of the gig. I'm just interested to see if they have any footage of like any small little nuggets of interviews or footage of like all the other support acts that played that day. Just be really interesting to see little bits and pieces of like, you know, Nicky Wire and James Dean Bradfield and just sort of the general vibe of like the support acts that day. Then that'd be quite an interesting perspective to add to it if they've got, you know, enough footage of it. Yeah, okay, well, that's interesting. But hopefully we'll get some more nuggets of details in the coming weeks, hopefully.
We love the nuggets. One of the, on the interview I did with your man from the Bootleg Beatles, he said that they were backstage and Damon Minchella slated him for being like a tribute band or whatever, didn't he? He said everyone, I was quite pleased about that, to get a bit of drama. But yeah, he said everyone was cool with them except Damon from Ocean Colour Scene. He was just like,
yeah,
being really rude about them. Yeah, maybe we catch that on the, that'd be great. But no, I'd love to see that actually. I'd love to see all of the performances, you know, the Prodigy especially. I'd love to see that Prodigy performance, you know, and if they had the cameras going all day, and obviously they had the big screens going, so they must have recorded that stuff. It must be there in the archives.
Maybe they'll do something like a Woodstock kind of documentary kind of thing. Because, yeah, like, you know, weaving in and out of various live performances, but about the whole weekend rather than just the gig. I mean, it's unlikely with Oasis, but you never know that they might do that. Because I was thinking, like, they had... Do you remember the Ozone Nebworth special? Yeah, the interview they did, like, they could probably easily access those. And there was interviews with, you know, James Dean Bradfield and Kula Shaker, I seem to remember, on there, and Dread Zone and stuff like that. They could, yeah, there is a whole wealth of material they could probably pull from just on that, and there was, and indeed lots of other media stuff. So yeah, that might be a bit more of an interesting idea, like to a bit more, yeah, let's say a bit artsier,
yeah,
kind of Woodstock legendary kind of way.
Yeah, don't think so.
It's probably going to be a
very basic rockumentary with lots of talking heads from Noel and hopefully some from Liam. But like we were saying earlier, if it is a, you know, Liam's not involved affair, although obviously we know he's you know, involved in this business, the business behind it, or whether that is just to allow his image to be used or whatever, and then he will step away. I don't know, but it would be good to have him involved. He's been pretty quiet on Twitter today, I think, hasn't he? He hasn't jumped in and said anything, commented on the new Noel song. We normally get a pearl of wisdom from him when Noel has new stuff out.
Did you notice, and I don't know how important this is, but did you notice on the, I don't know about the other social medias, but on Twitter, it's no longer Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. It's changed to Noel Gallagher.
Has it?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because, yeah, but I mean, nothing he said today, or indeed anything that's happened, would suggest that the High Flying Birds aren't going to, in fact, he's made a point of saying he likes it as an ever-evolving thing. So... a weird one.
That is strange. Yeah, it's just at Noel Gallagher. It looks really different as well. Is the profile's changed and everything.
Maybe he's doing some sort of Paul McCartney 1980 where he's just like ditching wings and it's just him, and he's gonna his next album, Noel's gonna drum, bass, guitar, everything, keys, and just go Paul McCartney.
Has he changed it from the Mighty Eye on Instagram though? That's the big question.
No, I'm just on there now. It's still the Mighty Eye. Do you know, right, is it, speaking of nuggets, I don't think we've ever spoken about this one before. Do you know who the Mighty Eye is?
The Mighty Eye?
No.
It's
one of his sons, I think.
Really?
Because I seem to remember, I think it was when he was doing his, because he, you know, he did his blog for like the Dig Out Your Soul tour, and so, and then he got bored of that and started doing stuff on Instagram. And I seem to remember, that he referred to one of the boys, I can't remember which one it was, as the Mighty Eye in the picture.
Oh, okay. Could be. So, could be.
Throws new light on the Ballad of the Mighty Eye, possibly.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, fair enough. There's a nugget from Richard.
There you go.
But, yeah, well, anything else? So I was just looking at the, like, the stuff that could have been on there. Like, you know, so B-sides wise and, you know, and other tracks, it's like, well, where have we got here? Yeah. So if he did like a, he could have done an EP or a bonus disc of like, basically like a master plan, but of High Flying Birds. Good Rebel, Let the Lord Shine Light on Me, I Pick You Every Time, Do the Damage, Revolution Song, Leave My Guitar Alone, Here's a Candle for My Birthday Cake, God Help Us All, Alone on the Rope. That's a strong album. I think that's a really strong disc. There's a lot of really good songs there.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously I had a bit of a went around listening to a load of his stuff on the drive back early on. And it's, as I said early on, like, it's such a strong collection. Like, I Pick You Every Time as well. That's kind of a bit of a, you know, a forgotten B-side, but, you know, that's a precursor to Sail On. And he could do another B-side album, couldn't he?
Mm.
He probably won't, but he's getting there. I mean, someone made the shout of Leave My Guitar Alone could be on there, which was a bit brave, because that's not a great one. But, but there's he hasn't done many Duff B-side or Duff bonus tracks, whatever they are now, as a solo artist either.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, cool. Sean, any further thoughts from yourself?
No, I'm just really really interested to see how this album does do in terms of chart sales, because I don't know. He's had a good run of number ones. I've just got a gut feeling this might not sell as well. I don't know why. I've just got a gut feeling this might not be as big a sell as his team think it might be. But hey-ho, we'll see.
Hmm. I suppose you've got the double... It's like a double pincer attack approach, I think, for this one. You've got the crazy collectors that are going to buy the 150 quid, you know, vinyls and that sort of stuff. Mm. Plus, then you've got the fact that this is going to be a mainstream, like, Father's Day present option, you know, and in the future, like, you know, big thing at Christmas, like, you know, that will be like, oh, well, you know, oh, there's a Noel Gallagher from Oasis. He's got a, you know, and oh, I never bought his albums, but, you know, I'll buy a best of, you know, it's that sort of situation. Maybe people that are aware of Noel, but then haven't really dug into his albums. That might be the Beautiful South doing Carry On Up the Charts. It's like, you know, you'd never buy a Beautiful South album, but a best of, yeah, that'd be good. You know, so maybe there are people out there that will go and pick up a best of. But yeah, it will be interesting whether it does make number one, actually. Is that double hit of those two factors combined going to drive enough sales to get it to number one?
Let's not forget, Stop the Clocks didn't make number one either.
Didn't it?
No. That was held off by, I think it was came out the same week as the Beatles Love album and the U2 Best Of. I think it was third. I could be wrong, but those three were kind of vying for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might not, it won't count. It's not a studio album. So, I mean, it'll have that in his back pocket if it doesn't go to it's not a studio album.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Well, I know it's not Oasis related, but this sort of thing just reminds me. I went to see the Manic Street Preachers in 2018. And Nicky is still very sort of chart-centric. And he was so annoyed that the Greatest Showman soundtrack beat them to number one. And in the Manchester gig, he was so fucking annoyed by it. He's like, who the fuck's played fucking Greatest Showman, the fucking number one? And he was just, like, not happy at all.
I remember him saying he was devastated. I think it was it Postcards from a Young Man? Like, didn't make the top 40, and that was their first one never to do it, their first single. And he said he was like, I was pretty devastated, to be honest.
Yeah,
and tying it back to Oasis, but Noel said on Radio 2 early on, he was like, it's not a greatest hits because I haven't had any hits from it. And I was kind of thinking about it, I was like, yeah, that's probably true, actually. Like, he certainly hasn't broken the top 10 in any of those songs. I would wager, I think Death of You and Me might have got to like the high teens or low teens. After that, I think like single success, fell off a cliff.
I've got it here. So basically, yeah, Death and You and Me got to 15, AK What a Life 20, If I Had a Gun 95, Dream On 52, Everybody's in the Run 61, Heat at the Moment 26, comeback single, so you'd expect that to do okay. Ballad of Martin, 54, River Man 70, Lock All the Doors 111, The Dying of the Light 187.
That was had a physical release, but didn't have a video of The Dying of the Light.
Really. Right.
Gonna try my best to get there, but I can't afford the bus fare and the storm that's rolling over. Man, it makes me wanna cry. And I was told that the streets were paved with gold and there'd be no time for getting out when we were young. But it's alright if you dance with me tonight. We'll fight the dying of the light and we'll catch the sun.
No, and then we've got Holy Mountain 31, Beautiful World 77, She Taught Me How to Fly 71, If Love Is the Law, Black, and then nothing else has charted since She Taught Me How to Fly getting to number 71. I think it's interesting that she Taught Me How to Fly and If Love Is the Law don't make the cut. I would have, you know, If Love Is the Law especially, I thought it would have. She Taught Me How to Fly, I thought it would have, because that was quite, you know, big. I think those Jules Holland performances and stuff were quite big. You know, and that was one of the big songs. I know It's a Beautiful World has made the cut, you know, and I think that was because obviously that was one that she played the scissors on and did the phone call on, isn't it? So, Charlotte. So, yeah, I get it. But I was surprised those two didn't make it, actually. I would have thought they would have. No, it's a good point. He's never really had hits as such. It really is a best of. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think I agree. I think If Love Is the Law is a shocking omission, but again it's not one you think about often. But then again, I listened to it earlier on, I was like, this is a great song, like this is absolute like belter, but it's not in his top tier. But yeah, I thought that was a strange omission. She Taught Me How to Fly, well, there's a 7-inch version of it available with deluxe box set. Make of that what you will.
Excellent. All right, so it officially is included. Yeah, and I'm just having a look at my sort of Noel Gallagher song ratings. The only thing, Keep On Reaching, I would have put in there. I love Keep On Reaching. Obviously, it wasn't a single, but if we're doing a pure best of, that would have been in there for me. The Right Stuff would have been a nice inclusion. I like The Right Stuff a lot. And AKA Broken Arrow. I think of that as a single, but it wasn't. So I don't know why I think of it as a single. I just think it's really good. And Soldier Boys and Jesus Freaks is one of my favourite Noel songs. I think it's one of his best songs, like that very Kinksy kind of sound to it. So if I was doing a Noel Gallagher playlist, I would have included those songs. But obviously, this isn't all about me, is it?
It's funny. Do you know, it's funny. I was thinking earlier on, talking about Stop the Clocks. Just remember when he wrote that song, he was going, it was the best song ever he'd ever written. I know he always says that, but he was like, this is the best song I've ever written. Took another 8 years to record it, and now it doesn't even make like the cut for his solo career. So I mean, it's just funny how his, you know, how the kind of opinions change, and he obviously doesn't think that anything of it now, like in comparison for his solo career. But it's just, yeah, just go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he on a Matt Morgan recently mention the song Slow?
Yes, because, and this kind of made me think, actually, this explains a bit of the Matt Morgan thing. He was saying, you know, he mentioned Slow because he said he was going back and looking at older songs which he'd written through the years, and he said he was doing something with them. That was obviously this now, we now know that. But maybe he's still keeping that one back.
Well, he said he was working on like 3 or 4, didn't he? So he said, I think on Zoe Ball, he said, I was working on 4. And two of them were the best two that, you know, came out the best, so they're going on. And then, so I assume there's another two. Mm. I mean, if Slow is the, you know, this magical, legendary song that you know, well, it would be nice to hear that finally.
The two new tracks that are on the record are tracks that songs that I hadn't really finished over the last 10 years. And because of lockdown and all that, we rented a studio and went in and kind of finished them off, and they came out really great. And it was only, excuse me, it was only after I'd finished them that we really gave the album the green light, because I didn't really want to put, I wanted to put new music on, but the challenge was to make the new music best of worthy. And once they came, once I finished them and recorded them, I was like, okay, we can do it now. So the song is, I think the song came from a period between the first two solo albums, and why I never finished it off, who knows, but it's finished off now.
But it's interesting, isn't it, that it was these, it was the old stuff that he was, you would have thought, like, you know, with the lockdown and digging around, and you'd be writing new stuff. But it appears that maybe, I suppose, it's for the best of. He was thinking, well, you know, we're looking back at the last 10 years, so this should be stuff that I wrote in the last 10 years. And and anything new kind of composed now will be on a in the next volume, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah, that's logical.
Yeah. It's highly logical. All right, anything else, Richard? Have we missed any glaring omissions, anything burning that you need to flag up?
I don't think so. Just the round of press he's been doing is quite amusing. Like, you could tell the Absolute Radio one was pre-recorded, because he'd obviously used that story about his boy's Tash, and he kind of fine-tuned it. The Zoe Ball one, that was a bit, but the Zoe Ball interview, like, that was where the answers to all the questions were that we wanted to know. And the Dave Berry, what, the Absolute Radio one was a bit nothing, as has been discussed. But I didn't think Zoe Ball would be the one getting the answers out of him, I have to say. I thought that'd be quite fluffy, but it was quite a detailed interview in the end.
Yeah, she did. She ended up getting quite a lot out of him. I was taking it, like, oh, she got the Cosmic Kite. You know, I was expecting, when she said Cosmic Kite, I was expecting that to just be brushed off. You know, oh, well, I do 100 meetings a day and all this sort of stuff, like you said on Matt Morgan. But no, he just came out and said it. Yeah, it's an Overworld documentary. Like, whoa. So that was good.
She was obviously prepped on it.
Yeah, he used the line twice as well about the obviously they were told, ask about the history of the high flying birds in the 10 years, and so he used that line in two different interviews about the changing of the band, you know, from hairy middle aged grumpy men to now exotic French birds and stuff, which was a nice line the first time I heard it. And then similar with the mustache, it's like, oh, he's just used that again. Okay, cool. That's fine. It's always frustrating. Like, I think it was good that Zoe Ball got a couple of those bits. And I haven't heard the Johnny Vaughan interview, so I don't know what he's, if anything else has come out of that one.
Johnny Vaughan's the only interview that I managed to catch today. It's like a 16-minute YouTube, like, video interview of it. It's Noel in his studio. Quite funny. It's more that kind of just him and Johnny just bantering, really. It was just kind of little things like, oh, Johnny was saying, oh, he wants to make a music album in Noel's studio, and how much would it cost? And Noel was saying, oh, you can play for free, just give me £250 for a cup of tea and we'll call it a deal, sort of thing. And it was kind of that level of kind of conversation, really. Although it did get us a little bit where Johnny had a bit of a moment where he was in his children's old nursery school, and Dying of the Light came on at a nearby music shop. And apparently Johnny just had a moment where it just set him off, like crying. And it just reminded him of, like, his kids in nursery for some reason. And then he got on to, like, the Don't Look Back in Anger, Manchester Memorial thing. So there's a bit of a kind of that sort of moment as well went on, quite a deep moment.
Your tune, The Dying of the Light, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I was driving down Northcote Road, which is in the Napi Valley, and I parked up outside what was the nursery school my kids went to, 18 years before. And the music shop was just shutting down opposite it. And I was their last customer. I just went in there to get some new strings for my ukulele. And I sat there and your tune came on. And I was just remembering picking up my kids from that nursery school. And I just had this most unbelievably beautiful moment, because I thought there was going to be no getting old back then. I just didn't think of it. And here I was there. And I sat in the car, the first time for years, I just cried like a good one. I mean, properly sobbed. And all the time that tune was there. And the weird thing is, I don't know what there were tears of, like sadness or joy, but it was just, it was just one of those, just, it was just a proper moment. Who'd have thought it?
Not you.
No, but it really was.
Well, I mean, I, I, Well, thank you very much. I mean, that's what music does to you, isn't it?
Do you get that? I don't want to ask the question. Do you get that a lot? Can you get your head round where your music gets to, how far its reach is, and how it affects people's lives?
No, I never did, and never will. I remember back in the 90s when we first went to Japan, and you know, well, it definitely maybe came up, and there's all these kids, obviously can't even speak English, just singing the songs. It's just like, what?
Yeah. No, but well, it's other things like sort of, you know, after the terrible things that happened in Manchester, and they're all around the moor a bit, and they chose one of your songs to sing. Is that just, do you feel like, is it heartbreaking or life-affirming?
No, it makes you realise that actually once a song is out there, it doesn't belong to you anymore. And
right.
That song in particular gives people great comfort, and it's a thing that you find very difficult to put into words. It's very, very difficult to put into words. That particular thing was a beautiful moment.
Apart from that, it was kind of just the usual Johnny Bourne kind of banter attack. At Noah, really. I don't recall anything of any substance in terms of material or anything like that coming out of it, but I haven't seen the Dave Berry interview, but I'm assuming it's a lot better than that.
Not really. I mean,
I get too excited.
No, the thing that annoys me about Dave Berry is he's just laughs too much. Like, I don't know if it's nervous energy. You'd think he'd be, you know, I've found it when I've done interviews with some, like, you know, people that, you know, I'm really excited about interviewing, and you know, you sort of do get a bit excited about it, and I do find myself laughing, you know, and also sometimes, like, if someone says something funny and I'm doing a podcast, I do kind of deliberately laugh, probably a little bit more than I would, just to make it sound, oh, we're having such a great time, you know. And so, you know, sorry, behind the curtain stuff, but like, you do that to make it sound a bit more entertaining and a bit better, you know. But still, it is literally like Noel could just say, morning, Dave, and oh, no.
Joining me right now via Zoom is Mr. Noel Gallagher. Noel, hello.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, welcome.
It's like, it's not that funny, Dave. Why do you know what I mean? Like, it, but you would have thought that sort of nervous energy of like, oh, I'm talking to Noel. He's been doing it for so long. Like, you shouldn't find Noel that hilarious.
The way that the band itself has evolved from a load of grumpy middle-aged men to exotic French birds in the band. I'm quite proud of that.
I may have been misinformed, and because it's happened before, Noel.
I mean, you usually are.
Yeah, I'm normally massively misinformed.
I never forget the time we were doing something live on the radio, and you'd been to see Oasis the previous night before, and you listed five songs which were great that we played, three of them which we hadn't played at all. And you were saying, oh, mate, yeah, last night was one of the best things I've ever seen, mate, and Equiesce was great, and what, and we're just like, well, we haven't played any of them.
Oh, don't. No, well, even now, that still creeps into my nightmares. It'll just come along that moment. Oh, please, forgive me.
Well, you can count yourself lucky you made that gaffe before social media, because it'd be all over YouTube now, wouldn't it?
Well, this is going to be all over YouTube now. No, thanks a lot for that.
There was nothing, you know, majorly interesting, really, from that one. All right, Sean. Well, welcome aboard, Sean. It's well done for your debut appearance on an Oasis podcast-related thing.
Thank you very much.
But
next time, I'll try and bring on our mutual friend Mitz, who's obscured himself from this for a while. Mittle.
Oh, Mittle Mitz.
Of course, you know.
Yeah. I'll
drag him on next time.
Yeah. We'll have to. Didn't you work with him or something?
So he is another Discord group I'm involved with. There's a YouTube Man United fan channel called Stretford Paddock, and Mitz works for them. So I know him through that. And obviously, I live in Salford and he lives just down the road. So we met up a few times for football kind of reasons. So we know each other a little bit. So I'll see if I can persuade him to get on one of these Zooms next time, because I think he needs to put his finger out of it when it comes to Oasis.
Cool. All right. Well, look.
Miss, if you're watching, mate, apologies, mate. I'm only joking.
All right. Well, welcome aboard, Sean. Great to have you. And thank you for supporting on Patreon and getting involved in the Discord. It's all good. Wonderful. All right. Well, on a momentous day as Oasis and Noel Gallagher fans, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much, gentlemen. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
See you, JC.
See you later.